Thank you, Brother Palmer. Why don't we just remain standing for a while as we turn to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and read the word of the Lord. Now, when we move to Matthew, don't turn from Ephesians, just keep your finger there. Beginning at the third verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. You can tell right there's no disgrace with God, because his grace is with wisdom and prudence. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now we turn to Matthew for just a minute, the 11th chapter. And verses 25 to 27. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Going back to Ephesians, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. Shall we pray? Our God, Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening. We're standing in your presence because we know you're here in our midst. And we know, Lord, if we did not even invoke thy great name and thy presence amongst us, you would be here, for who can hide from your eyes? Whoever, Lord, could flee from your presence, that is not within man. But, Lord, all things are open unto your eyes with whom we have to do. And knowing this is true, that one day it's going to be made manifest in that great day, if we are not right with you by the rebirth experience, we'll stand in the judgment, and then all things will be known. And it will be known whether we have been hypocritical tonight, whether we've been genuine, whatsoever we have been. And we know that this is absolutely true, and we're going to have to face up exactly what we are. For soon you're coming, and then that which is holy will be holy, and that which is righteous, righteous, and he which is filthy will be filthy still. It'll be all over. And so, Lord, tonight we pray our hearts to be greatly solemnized by the fact that we're going to hear your word and know what your word said according to what was revealed to us by a vindicated prophet. And we pray, therefore, Lord, the ears of the eyes for understanding shall be opened, and we shall all carefully watch what we're hearing tonight, so we'll not be off that word, but understand the riches and the glory which has been placed in us through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, Lord, I pray the speaking shall be absolutely identified with that which has been vindicated. And the hearing, Lord, should be that which is also of the same spirit, that we might be one together. Grant these mercies, we pray, Lord, for your honor and glory, that you might receive great praise and preeminence in a bride. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. The message tonight is the purpose of Almighty God. The purpose of Almighty God. In July 28, 1963, Brother Branham preached, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And in there, as you well know, he stated that God had a threefold purpose. Number one, God wanted to and actually did reveal himself to the people. Secondly, he predestinated a bride, a people in whom he would be preeminent by indwelling that bride. In other words, headship would be Christ-centered in this bride. Thirdly, he purposed to restore the kingdom that had fallen to Satan by Adam's sin. Now you can see that this is absolutely so by the scripture which we read. For in the Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 15 to 17, coupled with what I read in Matthew 11, it says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In other words, God is going to give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and this spirit of wisdom and revelation will give us the knowledge of Almighty God, which he desires us to have. And it also says the same thing in Matthew 25:27. Secondly, there is to be a preeminence of Christ in the bride, as proven by verses 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head, or the preeminent one, over all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things with all things. And you can actually find that in 1 Corinthians 2, that all things refer to the full word of God, so the bride is full of the word. I want to give you a little cheer as I go along, because it's going to be a long study tonight. Now also notice in Ephesians, the third chapter, and in verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's an eternal purpose. Again, you'll see the kingdom restored on the very grounds of Ephesians 1:10-12, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth. Now, if this is true, then there'll be restoration in heaven, there'll be restoration in earth. It's all going to be restored. That's exactly what the scripture says. In him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It says right here that God hath purpose. This is his counsel, that this very thing is going to come to pass. And with this, we can also bring up corroborating evidence in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and verse 21. Because creation itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. Right back to the glory of God, from the Alpha to the Omega, from center to circumference, and from circumference to center, that he might be all and in all. Now, let us take the first part, God revealing himself or God expressing himself. Now, the minute we talk of God revealing himself to men, we immediately understand that God is supernaturally hidden from man's view. And man cannot see God unless God shows himself in some way. See, supernaturally hidden. He cannot be seen. And yet he must therefore reveal himself in some way which is applicable or apprehendable by man. But God is spirit, and there is no original or inherent relationship between spirit and matter. Or to put it simply, God and matter are not of the same source, for God made matter. He created substance. The substance and matter are not made out of God, but God by creation made substance and matter. Nature and creation is not God. They were made by God. That is why we say the spirit and matter are not kindred. So therefore, if God is going to reveal his own invisible spirit self to us who are matter, who are substance, he must do it in some creature form. Are you listening? I'm reading my notes, and I'm doing it on purpose. I'm not making one mistake. God cannot be seen as a spirit. Spirit and matter do not coincide because they are not of the same source. One cannot apprehend the other. So therefore, God must absolutely make himself, his own invisible spirit self, visible or revealed to us in a creature form. That's all we understand. Since flesh and blood cannot see the kingdom of God, cannot understand it, then God must condescend to become, as it were, a part of his own creation. Veil himself in a creature or creation creature form, and by this form we can see him. Now that is exactly what we find to be true throughout Scripture in relationship to man. We go to Revelation, the 3rd chapter, and verse 14. And the angel of the church on the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. God calls himself by three titles. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. But let me just put it this way. Thus saith the Amen, who is the beginning. See, he's the Amen, he's also the beginning, same thing. He is the end and the beginning of creation of God. See, of course he is, because he's Alpha and Omega. For Alpha means the beginning and Omega is Amen. Now watch, Brother Branham said the beginning of the creation of God, of which he is the beginning and the ending, he's all of it. See, this is the revelation of Christ in this book, is it not? And hear what Brother Branham said. The beginning of the creation of God was God creating himself in the form of human flesh. Amen. The revelation of God, God becoming one with his own creature form. God making a body of his own that he can be identified in. Certainly. There is no other way he could get the preeminence. He has to have a bride to indwell her. But leaving that thought, going back to God creating himself in human form. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let us make man in our image after our own likeness. Now, especially the word likeness. We look at it. God made man in his likeness. When God made man in his likeness, the word suggests that God had some figure of a creature form in order to make man like that. Because that's what likeness speaks of. The creature form, the matter being duplicated. So, God took upon himself a sort of the form of humanity, or some form of humanity, to start humanity. And then one day became a man himself in order to bring all the elect into the very image of Almighty God. Now let us see God taking on the creature form or created form. We go first of all to the book of Exodus, the 3rd chapter. And we all know what this is without reading it, because this happens to deal with Moses who stood before God. Notice in verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. You'll notice here that God took on the veil of the pillar of fire. He made a veil. He made a fire, which in itself is not God, but which is something created by God. So God took upon himself a form of creature that he had made upon earth, or some form of creation. In Exodus, the 33rd chapter, and verse 23, we're going to see this form that God had when he made man. And he spoke, speaking to Moses here when Moses wanted to see him. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shalt thou not see. God, in revealing himself, must absolutely veil himself in a creature form, something of his own creation, in order to reveal himself to his creation. Again, in Ezekiel, the first chapter. Verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Chebar, that the heavens were open, and I saw visions of God. He did not see a vision from God, though that goes without saying. He saw an actual vision of God. God was presented to him. Now, how did he see God? It tells us in verse 26, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne. Notice the marvelous language of the Bible. It's flawless. It's perfect. You can't help but wonder at how gloriously the Scripture all is so cohesive and perfect. Made in the likeness of man. Made in a pillar of fire, another likeness. And now we've got a likeness, it says here. Likeness of a throne. As the appearance, doesn't say it was, of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance as a man above it. There was God showing himself once more in a creature form in order to reveal himself to that which is substance and matter, which in itself is not truly spiritual. Notice also another beautiful time of his veiling. It's over here in the book of Revelation, the 4th chapter. And this to me is very beautiful, for it says in verses 2 and 3, immediately I was in the Spirit, and a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like an emerald. What is this anyway? This is a picture of the amber-colored by flame of fire that came down, and in this flame of fire it shines forth as an emerald, as a sardine, as a jasper. And what is this? This is the Urim and the Thummim, God himself manifesting in a form that people might know the truth and the revelation of Almighty God himself. Because Urim and Thummim means manifestation and truth. And here's your Urim and Thummim right here. God revealing himself to the people. Now, notice also in Hebrews, the 1st chapter, in 1 and 2. And here we find the choicest of all, because this brings it down within a deeper, with a more simple understanding that we're acquainted with. In the first two verses, God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. Not by the prophets, though that is true. He was in the prophets by his Spirit, and he spoke to them, because the word of God descends by the prophet's Spirit, not by your spirit and mine, even though we have the same Holy Spirit. Is that right? You understand what I'm saying? That's what the prophet said. I'm repeating him. I'm a parrot to the glory of God. Hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. There he is, bringing us back to restoration. He's the only one who can do it. By his preeminence, he hath made even all these very ages. Now, God was in by his Spirit in the prophets, and God was in his Son by his Spirit, who will restore all heirship. Now watch carefully. Who is God the Creator? According to Scripture, he is Elohim. And Elohim is made up of two words, L-E-L and L-R-E-L-A-H. El means the strong one. Elah means one, bound by an oath, or bound by his own word. Now, each of these names is significant, but especially is Elah significant. For listen now, it can be used of other personalities as well as deity itself. We say, well, I don't believe God gives his name anywhere. He's jealous. I believe you believe wrong. I know you believe wrong. I can prove you believe wrong. It can be used of magistrates who are bound by an oath, as it speaks of judges in Exodus chapter 21, and verse 6, if I have this written down right. Then his master shall bring him unto the Elohim. Right. See? It was used of Moses in Exodus 7 and in verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made thee Elohim or Elah to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. See? It can be used of gods in Exodus 12 and 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the Elohim or the Elah of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. You see, they represented God, so therefore they used the name. This is exactly why God could be a messenger. Because by this name he can identify. He has an identifying name. He can be the servant as he was when he came to Jacob and to Abraham. And he came identifying himself as an angel. He can be Messiah only under the very same context. Because this allows him to be as a creature himself. Identifying himself in a creature form, though he is Almighty God. That's exactly why Jesus said what he did over here in the book of John, chapter 10, which Brother Branham quoted so very, very many times. John 10, 34 to 35. Jesus answered to them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, you're Elohim? If he called them, Elohim, unto whom the word of the real Elohim came." See? Then the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the son of that Elohim. In other words, I am Elohim come in flesh. See? No, this confirms the book of Hebrews. Paul by the same Holy Spirit saying the same thing, God in sundry times and divers manners spake unto us in the prophets. This is exactly why Brother Branham could say, in that day the Son of Man will be revealed in a body of flesh, and he didn't need to be actually referring to the bride, but could be referring to an individual, the prophet in the bride. But it didn't make him God. It made him the representative of God. It made him the one who stood for God. And it made him the one, if you listened to, you were hearing God. And it meant if you turned him down, you were turning down God.
Glory to God. Right.
Amen. Now also notice, Jehovah also took upon himself a human form. He did. And this is where you get the word Lord many times. And there are many lords. This is how he appeared to Abraham in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis. Showing us what we are seeing tonight, that God reveals himself, and he does it according to the book of Revelation, Jesus Christ, who is the beginning of the creation of God, and if he's the beginning of it, he's the middle of it, he's the end of it, he's got to be all of it. And see how he's doing it. It's laid out before us. Because man cannot apprehend that which is invisible and stand in the glory of God, then God must condescend to do something about himself that man may know God. Oh, can't you see what the prophet taught? God veiling himself in simplicity and revealing himself in the same as people stumbling, making too much or too little, not knowing what it's all about.
Right.
That's why I challenge anyone to show me one place where the prophet was wrong. See, it is God, the unfailing word, the Logos, in the creature, so that God can be revealed. God making a body of his own that he can be identified. Certainly, that's exactly right. So we begin to understand how it is there is one God, not three, who is revealing himself. If you can see this, you don't have to see where God sent his Son. As though the Son was pre-existent with Almighty God who was Father. There's no eternal sonship. There's no such thing in the book. It's the Son of God, Jesus, who came down as it became a creature form so that God could identify by filling it. We'll get into that in a minute. Not three gods revealing who they are, three gods, but it's one God. His name or title, Elah, tells us that he who is bound by an oath or bound by his own word was able to become flesh and did become flesh. He did. It is Elohim, under the title of Elah, who reveals himself through a creature form. Now we look at John 1 and 1, the gospel. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and so on. In the beginning was Elohim, whose attribute was Elah, who had the ability to become a man. And if God can't become a man, then you make God fallible. See? Certainly. Now listen, a God who is bound by the Word. But God can't be bound, now listen carefully, God cannot be bound except by what he is. Our limitations bind us. So do our potentialities bind us.
God is also bound. He is bound by His Word. What He is binds Him. So therefore, if God is bound by the Word, then He is the Word.
Glory to God.
Is that right? No great mystery. No great mystery. I'm bound by what I am. I'm Lee Vail. I went to Brother Branham and cried about it. I'm complaining, Brother Branham. I'm disgusted. He said, what's the matter? I said, I'm fed up. He said, well, with me. What's the matter with you? I said, I'm too mean and too hard. I preached you up. He said, you wouldn't believe Bill. Oh, I said, come on off. I said, Bill, there's a limit to everything. I'm just too mean. He staggered back like a trance. Said, it's too late. You've got to tell him. I'm bound by what I am. I never asked for my brown eyes and my falling hair, my very large nose, which used to disgust me, doesn't bother me at all, as long as I keep clear sinus. I am bound also by my good points and by my bad points. If I'm made in the image of God somewhere, this is the way it's got to be. God is bound by His too. What is He? He's the Word. Certainly, if He's bound by the Word, He's the Word. Now watch. Word is Logos. But Logos is not word that is written or a part of speech like we say noun, verb, adjective, participle, and so on. It is spoken word. And spoken word is the expression or manifestation of the invisible thought. It is actually the revelation of what is invisible, so that one can, by revelation, know or see the invisible. The eyes of your understanding being open. See? Now, so Christ, by becoming flesh, became the actual embodiment and outward expression of the invisible God Elohim. He said, before Abraham was, I am. He said, if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. He was God manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. He was the express image of the person of God, because He was the person of God. Hebrews 1 and 3. He was the image of the invisible God, because He simply made God visible. God Himself made Himself visible in the human form, Colossians 1 and 15. He was the very form of God, who came of no reputation, taking upon Himself the form of man, that He might be seen of us, and we could behold His glory. And when people beheld His glory, they didn't recognize the glory, and they crucified the glory, and they're doing the same thing again today, because they want to see another glory than the glory of Almighty God, so they missed the glory of God that was revealed. That's not a tongue twister, that's Almighty God's word today. That's what the prophet said. One God, many attributes, but He reveals His ways and Himself to us, so we know there is but one. And that revelation, when proven to be scriptural, is a perfect revelation of Almighty God. Now man wants another manifestation. Man wants another outshining. Man wants another outcropping of glory. Man wants what God will not give him. And until man wants what God gives him, there'll never be a revelation. God manifests. Yes, God revealing, absolutely, no guessing. This is it exactly. Now, as I said, if He is the Word and He is revealing Himself, it will always be, for it must be according to the Word which He has given us, because what limits anything defines and reveals it. You get it? Let me tell you again. Now, if He is the Word, and He is revealing Himself, it will always be, for it must be, according to His Word which He has given us, because what limits anything and defines it is the same thing that reveals it. Supposing I described an apple to you. Couldn't you guess it was an apple? That's what I'm saying here. That which limits it binds it absolutely reveals it. Apple's not a peach. Peach is not a pear. God being the Word, bound by that Word, then what's going to reveal Him? The Word's going to reveal Him. See? He is that Word. When God came down to us as a dove and filled Jesus with the fullness of God, that same Jesus one day said, which of you convinceth me of sin? Now that doesn't mean which of you can put your finger on me and see if I've sinned. It means which of you can confute me. Which of you, as Brother Branham said, and he brought it out not knowing the Greek, which of you can say that I have failed to manifest one word required of me as that one? Well, brother, sister, if he failed in one word, he can't be God. Because you can't take from God or add to God. Some people have an idea that's good to out God God or something. But they're wrong. It's not the way it is. Now also, he said, which of you, when saying the word confute, which of you can find me wrong in just one word? Where did I miss being the Word of God? And therefore, if I did not miss being the Word of God, I am Elohim, because Elohim exposes the Word. See? That's right. Keep your thoughts on. You'll come out on top. Don't worry. Now listen, they're on the road to Emmaus. He began with Moses and all the prophets and revealed that all the Word was actually about Him. He was that Word. He was Elohim. You say, how can all the Word be about Him? I'll tell you simply, because He gave the Word and He gave it to man revealing Himself. Then He left it up to man what He'd do with that Word. So therefore, everything in that Bible is God and man in that Word. That's why Brother Branham said, if you can't see Him in every verse, in the history, in the prose, in the law, in the psalms, in the poetry, in the prophet, he said, you better read it again. And that absolutely thus saith the Lord. Because He is that history. It was His unfolding before the people and what they did. He makes it absolutely the revealed Word of Almighty God. He was Elohim. The Bible testifies of Him. Every word is about Him somehow. It all relates to Him. Now that we see how God has been revealing Himself, we can see easily how He expresses Himself. It's the same way. For when God expresses Himself, it is the same as when any other person expresses Himself. In other words, He declares Himself on the subject. What's the subject? God. And who's a better authority to declare than God is? You think you know all about me? Ha! You know nothing. You can't tell about me, how are you going to tell about God? Unless God reveals Himself. He declares Himself on the subject. So God expresses or declares Himself. And how does He do it? We go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18, and we gain a little insight. Perhaps not all the insight we want, but we do gain some insight. 15 to 22. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him shall ye hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Right here, God's own people desired that the creature form of God, the pillar of fire and the thunder and voice, no longer be identified. And they said, what we'll do, we'll use a representative. Moses, you be that representative. And God said, I'll take that exactly, because that's exactly what God wanted to do. And He said, I'll have a prophet. That's what He said. Now, the Lord said, they have well spoken what they've spoken. Isn't that nice that the people said the right thing? Brother Fred, where are you? The people said the right thing. All right, it can be done, see? Now, I will raise him up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, that he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which presumed to speak in my name, which I have not commanded, speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. Yeah. I won't let go on that at this time. It's all right. I won't be that mean preacher tonight. But the prophet spoketh presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Here we see Elohim expressing himself by representation. To fail to listen could be death. Why? Because the prophets were God to the people. Now then, let's apply this all to Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him who is the Word, who is Elohim. and the Word became flesh. Verse 14. And in verse 18, the only begotten Son hath declared him, or in the Greek, exegeted him, which means to absolutely define, picture, and present perfectly as to the content and entity through words. God declared, God revealed, God defined, God made plain by the words that God gives. Jesus came forth as the last Adam, who was both created and formed like the first Adam. For the ovum and the sperm were created in the womb of Mary, but the body was formed from the dust through the chemistry in the womb of Mary. And God indwelt that body at Jordan, so Jesus could say, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. I said, well, I want to see that spirit. You know what Jesus would say? How long have I been with you? How long must I suffer you? When are you going to learn? You don't see it that way. But I want to see it that way. Then die in your sins. Because if you believe not that I am He, you die in your sins. What are you so scared of looking at a human figure and seeing God? God wasn't scared. Why should you be scared? Why are you worried about His plan? He wasn't worried about His plan. In fact, His plan is going to go into effect and yours is going to go down the drain. The prophet taught us this. This is no mystery. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So why do you keep saying, show us the Father? What's the matter with you? You know, many people think Jesus was just such a little different person than what He was. You know, at the graveside of Lazarus, He wept. The Bible says He groaned. If you read the original translation, He was angry at the unbelief. Jesus marveled one day. He marveled at their hardness of heart and their unbelief. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. This is the exclamation mark and the period rung down upon all ages. There is no alternative. There is no question mark. Why do you keep asking to show us the Father you see Him? He proved it was He, Elohim, the Word, by the scriptural works. John 14, 9-11. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How saith then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the work. Don't you see I'm Deuteronomy 18?
Glory.
Don't you see I'm a regular prophet, a real prophet, but I've gone beyond being a prophet because I am that prophet that was in the prophet.
Glory to God. Amen.
Now listen, believe I'm in the Father and follow me, or else believe me for the very word's sake. He said, look, if you can't understand it, you can understand this. Who's doing the kind of works I'm doing but God? He said, that doesn't settle you. Nothing will. You know, I make this sound kind of hard, but if you realize the infinite patience of Jesus Christ with this man after all that time. See? Make lesser people like you and me just rise up and say, well, let's call it quits and go home to glory. Hallelujah. I tried. My God, what are they looking for? What do you want? What do you think you'd like to see? Well, I'd like to, I wonder what I would like to see. Yeah, by the way, what would God be like? It all boils down, He's got to come in some creature form. He's got to come in His own creation, just what the book of Revelation said. Certainly. You've got three witnesses. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. In the beginning was the Word of God. And then at the end here, the faithful, the Amen, the beginning of the creation of God. Three places. At the beginning, in the middle, and the end. See? Sure, what Alpha is Omega and what's in between. There's no board without two ends. And there's no two ends without the board in the middle. See? God had revealed Himself in a creature form. Elohim the servant, the messenger was revealed. God expressed Himself in the Son. That, relax and believe it. You know something? Say something. I knew there was one God for years. It wasn't too real. But I kept preaching and hammering away, and one day suddenly, boing! There it was. One God. Now you try to phase me. You can prove there's 14 gods. You can prove there's half a God. I'll still come away saying there's one God. I'm sorry, I've had it. Now you do the same with this. Get rid of your idols, your Trinitarian dogma, the little layers of unbelief and all these funny feelings and thoughts. He was God. No problem. They looked at him. That's what they could see. That's all God wanted them to see. And when they couldn't see it, he called them blind. It's the only way God had of doing it. If he had another way, he would have done it. God doesn't have two ways of doing the same thing. He's got one way. That's easily understood. The mystery of God in human flesh stood revealed, and the Son declared or expressed or exegeted Elohim. Elohim was unveiled as Christ brought him into full view. See? Even God, what God was to man, was brought in full view. As Brother Branham said, there, as they sang the psalm, they wounded my hands and my feet, all my bones stare at me, number them all. He said, there they sang in the temple, and the mercy seat was brought into full view, which was Christ, because the mercy seat on earth was merely a type or a creature form of reality. Then look at God letting man have a part in it. He said, I'll let you make a mercy seat. I'll let you make me in a lesser substance. Then I'll come down in your substance. Oh, hallelujah.
Glory to God.
They make a dead man come out in the resurrection. I'll prove it to you. You wait a while. I'm not talking through my head. Now, and once more in this hour, Elohim has been revealed. Right. Who were you looking at when you saw that one stand up and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit and this building under my control for the glory of God. You were not looking at a man. You were looking at God, the God veiled in human flesh. William Branham was not Jesus Christ, but he's identified with Elohim. Or I miss what the Word of God says. See? It's exactly the way it was. Not somebody saying, we're going to pass the bread now in the memory of the one whose body was broken out there in the highway. That's nonsense. It was the representative. That one. If that wasn't God and William Branham bringing this word, then you and I are fools tonight. But I'll ask you one question. How did this great foolish God back up the man who said, thus saith the Lord, proving that God listened to this man's words? Let me tell you something, brother, sister. God doesn't listen to anybody's words. He listens to his own words. Notice again, God expressing himself. Not only did God express himself, God expressed himself by becoming a son, but he has never stopped expressing himself in the church. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. I'm glad you said it because I'm proving to you. I won't ask you to do anything wrong, don't worry. I'm not one of those tricky preachers. A fellow tried to trick me one time. He said, over here in the James, it said, in the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And I said, amen. He said, I caught your preacher. It says saved. He's a liar. The word is sozo, and the word is the same for healing and for salvation. Let's not trick ourselves in little Pentecostal nuttiness. Amen. I'm going to preach on, brother. Just say sick 'em. Listen. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that shall shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, of all the things that he saw. That's the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now you go to the church ages, chapters 2 and 3, and you will find 7 complete church ages in this earth, under the Gentile age. And he has continuously revealed himself by 7 major revelations of himself to the messenger in each age.
Glory. Glory.
And you can prove it, because it says here in the first church age, unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus, write, these things said he that holds the seven stars. In verse 8, unto the messenger in Smyrna, this is he, these things said the first and the last. And in the 12th chapter, that hath the sword, and the 18th verse, whose eyes are a flame of fire. And every single age, the messenger comes away with a revelation of Jesus Christ. And he is the revelation by virtue of the revelation being in him. Seven church age messengers. I believe that's those seven spirits before the throne up there. Seven spirits of God. Because Brother Branham said in the rapture day, he said those seven mighty angels that came down were the seven counterparts, as it were, standing before the throne of God. And everyone had a messenger on this earth. And then those seven messengers came down. That mighty messenger came down with a revelation. God once more revealing himself in a creature form. God revealed himself in a creature form by those messengers, by the Spirit of God within them. He gave them the word for their day. That's exactly right. And at the end time, there will be a complete revelation of the whole word, because it says the mystery of God should be consummated and perfected in the days of the voice of the seven church age messenger. Now the seventh church, let me read it for you here. It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be perfected and consummated, as God has declared the good news of his gospel by his servants the prophets. The very mystery of God is going to be wound up through the complete revelation. And as Brother Branham said, that revelation is a threefold purpose and mystery which has been hidden until this hour of which I'm speaking on, according to what the prophet taught us in Christ is the mystery of God revealed. Then in the opening of the seven seals, we see it's been Christ the Word all the time. Who was Elohim? Christ the Word. Who was Jehovah? Christ the Word. Who was in Moses but Christ the Word? Who was there in Melchizedek but Christ the Word? Who was Jesus but Christ the Word? Who was in Paul but Christ the Word? Who came back at Pentecost but Christ the Word? Who indwells the church now but Christ the Word? It's the whole revelation of Christ the Word. And the seven seals declared it, corrected all the errors and brought us back to a full understanding. Certainly that's what it is. Here we are at the end, and the full assurance of faith has come to us, making us ready for a rapture. Our scholars find it very hard to see seven church ages and a continuing revelation of Jesus Christ. Sure they do. They want to look back and say, well, he did it all in Jesus, and you sort of got to pick it up. I got news for them. They're off. Entirely off. It's a continuing revelation. Not we're adding to it or taking from it. It's a continuing revelation. Because it's God all the way. But if you can see Christ, now listen, if you can see Christ in the Old Testament, in Abraham, in Joseph, and Isaac, and Moses, and Samuel, and David, and the prophets, and the mighty men, because they are typed there, then you can see Christ in the bride, revealing himself as the Word to her also. Now listen, if Christ had the preeminence back there in the Old Testament, and as Brother Branham said, men not knowing it, just acting out the coming one, then surely we're acting out the same one who came 2,000 years ago, even though we are actually unaware of it. I ask you a question. You think for one minute that Moses really understood this and believed it? I better not use Moses, because he did pretty well above the others. But you think maybe that Joseph understood this and believed it that way? And Jacob and some of those? They'd say to themselves, and maybe David after his sin say, oh, I don't think he's acting out anything in me. I just don't know that he's revealing himself. I just wonder about that. See? But it must be so. Now listen, it must be so if the bride is the body of Christ.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
See, Elohim hasn't got any other way of doing it. Jehovah hasn't got any other way of doing it. Do you think, now listen, now watch carefully now. Do you think any but the first and last church age messenger out of all seven were aware of who they were? No. Only Paul and William Branham. Why? Because Alpha is Omega. And if Paul knew, then seven has to know it. And 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 wouldn't even recognize it. See? I'll prove it to you. Moses knew it, and Jesus was the one who replaced Moses, and they both knew it. And Moses stood with Jesus talking about his demise. And the fellow who missed death stood there and said, "Hallelujah, I won't be there to die, but I'll get a little later on." Old Elijah. See, there again, principles of Alpha and Omega. Remember, the prophet said, a measure of the Spirit of Christ was poured out under Luther through justification, Wesley and Pentecost, and now the baptism and restoration, and Christ revealed fully as the seed of the entire Bible is planted. Christ showing himself perfectly in this age. So Elohim has revealed and expressed himself to men from the beginning. Soon as there was a man on earth, God was expressing himself. He had to. For this was his purpose, which was in himself. And what was in him, that alone had to come out. God's just like you and me. He can't express what he isn't. That's why he can't lie. You and I can. It's just too bad. That's why it comes out. But he could only reveal and express himself according to his own ways. Because that's how he is. Here is the mystery that men have found so hard to grasp, and therefore they are failing to see the power, the presence of God revealed, Acts 3, verse 19. Talk about these grease lights and what do you call these lights? I could do without them. Now, let's go to the third chapter of Acts. And we're going to see something here. Repent you therefore and be converted. Change your mind and turn around. You only get to turn around by getting the Holy Ghost now. That's Brother Brand said, conversion, Holy Ghost. That your sins may be blotted out. That's a sure way to know they're gone. Now listen. When the times of refreshing, when God shall send a new revival from the presence of the Lord. Now let's be honest. They don't need a revival in heaven. God's not going to convert angels. There's only one place they need a revival, and that's down here. Well, let's face it. Let's be honest, not children. Simple as ABC. We need a revival. Now, it says right here it's going to come from the presence of God. Where? Right here. Now, where's the presence of God? It's going to be right here. Now, the word in the Greek for presence means that part of anything that's visible to the eye. Now, what's invisible to human eye? The creature form that God takes on. Now, it goes on to say here that he'll send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you. Not preached. Jesus wasn't preached. He was there. I'm not preached to you. I'm here. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of all things. Now then, it's not Jesus Christ himself in flesh that's here. But the presence of Jehovah or Elohim must be here.
That's right.
Where is God? In a prophet.
Yes, glory to God.
Because God's the Word.
Yes. Amen.
Now the Bible says right here that God is going to send a revival from that which can be seen of God. And Jesus said, have you seen me so long and don't know I'm the Father? Then listen, I'll give you one more clue. Look at my works. That's God when you see those works. Now you show me a man who duplicated the ministry of Jesus Christ. I'll give you 2,000 years to go into history. Because that's how long we've been here. And I want you to show me one man who duplicated the ministry of Jesus Christ outside of William Branham. Now, he said there's going to be revival. And Brother Branham said, see, that revival's been going on for 20 years and they can't kill it. How are they going to kill it when it's going to put you in the resurrection? Christ revealing himself, proving himself to this age to put us in the resurrection. You say, why? Because, brother, sister, he can't come until there's a resurrection. See? Now, so Elohim revealed himself and has revealed himself in this day. Now we could go on, but we're going to quit right there and go to the second purpose. Because we've shown you God's revealed himself. He has never stopped revealing himself. He has revealed himself consistently through the scripture method which is in himself, which then must be himself revealed. How is an artist an artist? Oh, because he says a hogwash. He's an artist because he can draw. He shows he's an artist. He's got the ability and the spirit, the finesse, and that which makes him an artist. Not some dibbler and dabbler. A lot of dibblers and dabblers. A lot of dibblers and dabblers in the days of Moses. Korah, Dathan, Abiram. Boy, they dibbled and dabbled, and everybody that dibbled and dabbled with them lost out. End up in a lake of fire with that nonsense. But Moses was the prophet, and God was in the prophet. And he said, "You're Elohim to them." See? All through the Bible, we've got the very same thing. Christ is in a body day. The bride of the Lord Jesus Christ is his body. See? But we're not talking about that just specifically. We're talking specifically how God comes to us and shows us his word. See? Now, how will he have the preeminence in the bride? Now, his first purpose he's attained. There's no doubt about it. For 6,000 years, God has been revealing himself. He's done it in the one way that he told us he'll do it, and it's always been that way. There's never been any other way. 2,000 years, we've had God reveal himself by the word to a messenger, and then the messenger teaches faithful servants, and they teach others. See? And those who saw with the understanding by the way God sent his revelation of himself, saw God. Okay? Now, is that hard to understand? Well, I didn't get any comments, so I'll give one myself. 1 Samuel. My favorite sweet little scripture. Verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Now let's go a little further. And it says over here, and Samuel lay down till morning and opened the door of the house of God, and Samuel feared to show the vision to Eli. Now that's something or other's gone haywire if you don't understand this. Because little Samuel didn't see anything, he heard something. And now the Bible says he had a vision through hearing. You want to see God? Then hear his word. Amen. And hear it right. And you'll see God with your spiritual understanding. Yes, now, it's very simple to understand how God will get the preeminence. We go to the book of Colossians, which Brother Branham used, which I did not use until this moment. The first chapter, verses 15 to 19. Who is the image of the invisible God? In other words, it says this one made invisible. Come and look at him. And they said, oh, he's Joseph's son. Who needs him? The legitimate fellow come in here and try to tell us what to do. Never did like him in the first place. Boy, they didn't even investigate. One fellow said, listen, he said, well, does our law condemn a man before it hears him? Oh, they said, shut up. Are you one of his people? Why, no prophet comes out of Nazareth down there. Why, he never came out of Nazareth. He came out of Judea. Huh? Certainly did. They didn't bother even looking. My. I can just see the same bunch of Jews around us tonight. For by him are all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities. Isn't that wonderful? Well, the whole thing belongs to him. Of course, the devil is using him right now, but that doesn't make him not God's. All things created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things are maintained. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. That in all things he might have preeminence. Now you see, for it pleased God that in him should all fullness dwell. Now let's look at verse 16 and 17. It says here, for by him are all things created, they're in heaven, things in earth, visible and invisible, and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, or things created by him and for him. And he is before all, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness dwell. For in him all the fullness was of the Godhead was pleased to dwell. Now that's what it says about him who has the preeminence. Now first of all, now watch, one as preeminent as this one, well look at this, all things made by him, in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, dominions, principalities, All created by him, he is before all things, and all things by him consist. Well, listen, one person that preeminent, how could he not have the preeminence by very right of fact that he is preeminent? Well, come on. Brother Brand said, little old policeman down there in Louisville, he's just about so you could spit over his head without even, you know, raising your head. Nothing to him. Stand there, strong little fellow with a big old yellow mitt on or a white mitt, standing in traffic. Big old 5-ton truck come roaring down there, loaded 10 more tons. Holds up his hand, the truck goes screech. Why, that fellow doesn't have any power to stop that truck. But look what's behind him. You see, oh boy, that guy, I'll stand aside. Yes, sir, Mr. Cobb. Yes, sir, Mr. Policeman. Yes, sir, Mr. Oh, yes, you're scared to get a ticket. Oh, yes, Mr. Policeman. Oh, yes, Mr. Policeman. Why? Because he's the law. Well, what about this one here? You talk about preeminence. How can he not be preeminent? Because he is preeminent. How can anybody say he is? How could anybody be preeminent who was not by virtue already preeminent? You're putting up a bogeyman, an imposter, a foul thing. You can't make a crude thing take the place of the high thing. Like maybe Mark Twain's Prince and the Pauper. Got the two kids mixed up because they look alike. I got news for you. You're not getting Jesus mixed up with anybody. He is preeminent. Let's prove it. Same thing over here in the book of Romans, 11th chapter, verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory. That one preeminent. See, now listen. The creature could never approximate the Creator. And you got a Roman Catholic Church and a Protestant hierarchy. God have pity. Somebody stands up with a little old creed and dogma and come against the word. My church says so. Who cares about your church? Gee. I was a Presbyterian back in Canada. Then they joined the Methodists. And the Methodists took our Presbyterian church and made it so filthy ungodly, you never saw such a mess. Because the Presbyterians believed in salvation. And the Methodist preacher believed in nothing but a sort of temperance. And he wasn't very temperate. Or he'd have quit his diet and got a little thinner. He's so big you couldn't even look around him. Maybe like the old Methodist lady in our town that was a prohibition lady, and when she was dying to look for her booze bottle, give her stimulant, and they finally found it. If I was against liquor that much, I wouldn't have a booze bottle around. Methodist. Baptist. What's that got to do with it? See? The creature could never approximate the Creator. Where's your preeminence now? And one man vaunts himself against another. Huh? The hand against the foot. Not even the hand against the foot. This is directly against Almighty God. Now, how exactly will he, who is preeminent by virtue of his own stature, be preeminent in the bride? Because it sounds like even this preeminent one could be in a bit of danger as to not be preeminent. Sure. I'll tell you. He will do it by revealing himself to her. Or what does he bother doing in the first place? Does he reveal himself in order not to be preeminent? He reveals himself in order to be preeminent. And he reveals himself to her in such a way that he will be everything to her. Because he is everything to her. Because all things are by him and to him and for him. See? All what makes him naturally preeminent will be revealed to her and entrusted to her so that he will be all things to her. Now that's staggering. This is what the prophet tried to get across, and I'm just a copycat tonight because I don't know if I'm getting it across either to me or to you. But I'm going to be honest. I'm not up here lying to you. I'm very candid. But he has become all things to the bride, as the scripture says. He is all things to the church because he is all things by virtue of what he is. You see? Now, that's exactly what we read over here in Ephesians, that first chapter, reading it again, verses 22 and 23. And hath put all things under his feet. Well, if everything's under him, he's the preeminent one. I had a vision of him once. Oh, yes, I did. And he appeared in a creature form, the likeness of a man exactly as Ezekiel saw him. Except he wasn't on the throne. His feet were on the earth. And he said, now I'm going to show you something. As God is my judge, my hand representing the earth as a ball, because it's a ball and I saw it in the ball. Here was God in stature like this. Now you examine yourself how big you are in the light of 3 billion people over a 25,000 circumference earth, and God being this much bigger, just how big are you then when you compare yourself to God? Yet that one is all things to you and me. He has made himself available. The preeminent one has revealed himself, and in the revelation, he has not withheld himself by saying, look, but touch not, or taste not. He said, look, and touch, and taste.
Glory. Glory to God. That's right.
See? Oh, yes, he does. Yes, he does. Hebrews 6 says he does it. At the end time. And many will even go that far and still reject the preeminence in favor of a creed or a dogma or some miserable church. Now further let us reason. I say reason. Now I'm going to use human reasoning, and yet not human reasoning but scriptural. In other words, free our minds and think. When Christ was here on earth, what did he express? The answer? He could and did express nothing but what he was, which is the word, Elohim. Now listen. And since he has come back as the Holy Ghost 2,000 years ago, and been here 2,000 years, what has he constantly expressed? He has continuously expressed what he is, which is the word. Now watch it. Justification, sanctification, restoration of gifts, full restored baptism with the Holy Ghost. Who is he? Revelation says he's faithful and true. He is the Word of God. See? That's all. That's all he can express. So to the bride, he will express the fullness of the Godhead, and being all things to her, he will gain the preeminence, for he is her head. Right, he's preeminent. He's the head. That's the Bible said up here. Came to be the head of the church.
Right.
What do people do? Look at your feet when they want to talk to you. Look at your eyes. Look at your head. See? Now, listen to what the prophet said. Christ in you makes him the center of life of the revelation. Now, if you're a bride, you've got Christ in you. That makes him the center of life of the revelation, because he's the revelation and he's the life. Now, listen. As Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. Now, Christ in the Bible makes the Bible the complete revelation of Christ. It does. Christ in you makes you the complete revelation of the whole thing. But what are you here for? For him. So who gets the preeminence? Christ. See? Sure he got the preeminence because he is the preeminent one. Certainly he's the preeminent one because he's all things of the church. How can you believe in anything but a word identified life? Oh yes, I admire that man and think he's got such a great spirit, but he's off the word. I got news for you. You can admire him, my brother, but don't ask Lee Vail to do it. No, no, brother, sister, don't ask me. Now, here's the preaching that I'm doing that I've asked Brother Branham that I kind of wish he'd take away by prayer, but prayer prophet wouldn't do it. See? Don't ask me to be caught away. And what Brother Earl in his message last night could have brought out what to me was one of the most important words in the church age book, because Brother Branham penned it in and his large, bold handwriting concerning Laodicea. They will be a repeat of all diabolical
cunning. How cunning would I be if my spirit was rough, hard, tough? But if I was sweet, 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 sweet? Sweeter than their prophet. I got news for you, honey. You're all women as far as I'm concerned tonight. Listen to me. Eve was not raped. She was seduced, which means she was lulled by the beauty of the thought of the lovely act to become a part with an anti-God thing. And you admire a man's spirit who is against the word. Not Brother Vail. God hates those who hate his word. Now listen. Everything that Christ was manifested and revealed on earth, he is pouring into the church so that what he revealed will not die or lie dormant, but the revelation itself will come to life and express itself in the bride. Why did God reveal himself? So you know he is the preeminent one. And if you can't see him as a preeminent one, brother, sister, there's something wrong with somebody's eyes. If you've got a God that's so weak that when he made Adam and Eve, he didn't know what they do, then he had no business doing something. He could hardly be omniscient. The scripture says he is. Brother Branham cataloged that or categorized that infinity of God in his omniscience to such a place that he said he knew how many fleas would be in this world and how many gnats and how many times they'd bat their eyes. I don't think I want to try to compute that on a computer. Then with that life expressed, he has the preeminence. It has to be, for his life is her life. She doesn't have one of her own. The Bible says Christ is her life. You know, it's a funny thing, but today the people are so sorry for our dear sweet ladies that are so run down by these ferocious, mean husbands. Why, she's got to go to him for everything. She can't breathe without going to him. She can't think, but he's got to think for her. Well, I got news for you. Jesus looks down and he says, you can't think either. I'm supposed to think for you. Now, you're getting used to the real old veil because this is how I act in the pulpit when I try to get my point across. Because it's the only way I know how. Because if I said it real sweet, you'd miss the point and go over right of your head. But this way, you didn't miss the point. If a husband's a head, he's preeminent. And if God is the head, he is preeminent. And if he claims to be preeminent, he's got to be the head. I want to tell you something, sister. Your life's not your own. You haven't got a life of your own, period. There's no such thing as a female life. It's all in a man. Bible says so. Woman doesn't have seed, the man has. I'm going to tell you, that's the way the bride is. I'm not running down women now, because bride is female, and that's what I'm trying to show you. You can't show me wrong, because see, I got the prophet, plus I got the Bible. For the woman is, the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. The very life that she got is from Adam. There is no female life. It is all male life. But it was divided so they could have children. And propagate. Her body is his body. That's right. Where'd that body come from a word? Or a creature of dogma? Shaking somebody's hand? Or talking in tongues? Yeah. Glory to God. Something really happened, you know, Brother Bale, when I took that communion, that changed my life. I got news for you. You got the wrong change. Her works are his works. Yeah. Oh, how we love to talk about work. You know something? I'm going to tell you a little secret. I've been mouthing off across the country. I shouldn't use a bad expression about myself. I've been talking about the country. Because this is serious. I'm not trying to make a joke. A couple of years ago, I had one of the most disappointing experiences in my life.
When I really had attempted to do right by the people where I live, because I felt so sorry for them, being quite a few in number with no pastor, I went one day, and it's all on a tape recorder, and I said, look, there's so many of you, and you hunger for help, and I simply can't feel your burden and run home to you all the time. I was even leaving places on the field to get home because I loved them. And I said, would you like me to help you get a pastor? They said, yeah. Now, you know, I shouldn't have said that. What have I got to do with putting a pastor, helping pastors, or anything? I got no right to try to do God a service. I am not a pastor. I know my life. Listen to me. I teach. Could you think any congregation could stand me the way I teach before you like I do now for an hour and a half to 2 hours to three? Two and three times a week? Do you think the kind of spirit I carry on me to get my points across so I'm sweet when I sit down with you and talk your problems and could cry and do anything with you? Yeah, I could. Do you think I'm a pastor? I am no more pastor than nothing. I would rip up the wheat with the tares and I do it. Don't be shocked. Are you shocked? Let's go home now and forget. I got one more ten. You ain't even born again. I'm telling you what the prophet said. I'm not a pastor. I'm a teacher. I got to stay on that road. And the minute I dared to put my finger on anything that was outside of my calling, though my heart was full of love, my works were no longer his works. They were Lee Vale. And I paid the price of a heartbreak for it. You think I don't love people? I sometimes do, not all the time. I've got to be honest. Not trying to be funny, just be honest with you, because I wouldn't lie to you. Why lie? Anybody can lie. You're foolish to lie. Catch up with you. But there are times when I want to help people. I opened door for man after man. Each one cut my throat and betrayed me. And I went to God and I said, why? And he said, a man's gift make room for him. You don't make room. Then I wondered, I realized why it was the prophet never opened any doors for me. You think he did, but he didn't. The prophet didn't say, I'll get this door for you, I'll make that door. I made my own. You know how I made my own? Nobody could write the church age book, so I laid everything on the altar, gave up my whole living, and said, I'll do it if I can, and I did. He didn't open any doors. And I'd go home and wonder, say, why doesn't he open the door? Why doesn't he do something for me? The prophet, being a prophet, knew a man's gift make room for him. And he told me several years before, Brother Bale, you're like me. You got a little gift of teaching. I got a little gift of healing. Nobody wants a little gift of teaching. Nobody wants a little gift of healing. I said, that sure sounds nice to you, but it's pretty hard on me. What do I do? I knew he was getting along pretty good for his little gift. I wasn't doing so hot with my little gift. He said, Doc, you know you're no pastor. I said, I know that. What'll I do? He said, do what I'm doing. So I said, you know, try to get a little hint. You know, little handout sort of thing, little push, pat in the back, little lift up in the air. And I said, what are you doing? Though I didn't know. And he said, why, you just go down the road one step at a time as the Lord opens the door. And when you're through that door, you wait, and the Lord opens another door. So I've been going down the road waiting for God to open doors. And he's got so many doors open now, I don't know which one to go in for. Now, how are you going to do the works of God if the headship is not in Christ? It's your own head, your own ideas. The prophet taught us these things, doing God a service apart from his will. There is no service outside of divine orders by this word. And you say, well, church order is for some other church. I'm glad you said that. But as far as this church that Lee Vale goes to, I don't care about you. You'll go ahead and fall under the excoriating wrath of a prophet of God who says they're bastard children when they turned away. You call them sweet, lovely, what you want to call them. I'll say what the prophet said. That's right. I used to do a lot of discerning at one time. Friends right here might have known that years ago, a lot of it. Brother Branham one day said, Lee, he said, you've got a lot of good discerning, a lot of bad, too. He said, you've had some error. He said, I'll tell you something. He said, that gift is mine. Nobody but me has that gift. And anybody who tries to have it shows what they are. Under a false anointing. Now, come on. I got some of you people look amazed. I got news for you. Be a little more amazed. I can tell you a lot of things. They are amazed with great wonder at Jesus, and he was amazed right back at them. Huh? Doing God a service. His works, brother, sister, are his word. Many will come in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, we can't cast the devil. And they'll say, depart. They'll say, hold it, Lord, hold it. Please listen. Your word said to cast them out. We obeyed your word. He said, you misunderstood my word. I told the women to stay home, to be wives and raise kids. And the older men to teach their daughters to love their husbands, because husbands must need that little special love because they're not too lovely. And the girls are a little fuzzy too, because the Bible said, husbands, be not bitter against your wives. What gets in women that makes men bitter? Preacher, Brother Bale, sure off the subject, but it sounds good. Don't mean to sting, it just means to talk you a little bit. See? His works, brother, sister, must be within the framework of the word, because he said, which of you can confute me at one word, and where do you find I'm off at one time? But on that day, he takes the same word, and they're defiled by handling the word. And what about some of you men that weren't even called to preach? I hope you're not here. Her mind is his mind. The prophet told me in 64, he said, Brother Vale, his eyes hazy, too many visions, too great a burden. He said, Brother Vale, I wish I had people around me who could take the burden off me to just let me be with God and his thoughts. He said, I can't even go home, but my thoughts are disrupted. One thought coming to my mind disrupted may take me a month to get that thought back. A prophet of God, and you and I want to get the whole thing and think we know the whole thing, in this little time we've had, when a prophet of God might take months for one thought to come back, and people around are saying they got it all figured out. Oh, come on. Don't tell Brother Vale that. Now, you look in the mirror and tell yourself, honey, I'll pat you on the back and say, very sweet of you, that's nice of you, God bless you, but don't tell me. Her mind is his mind. And it's all word identified, or it's not God. And I've heard of people who say they believe this message, over whom Brother Branham once even prophesied, went running to a church where there was tongues and interpretation for further prophecy. The process of preeminence is the process. Said, Brother Branham, what do you mean when you say that the Son of Man revealed in human flesh? What do you mean? He said, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh is the bride in every age. That's what the prophet said. He meant what he said. Do you realize who the Son of Man is? He is the prophet. God is his own prophet. God is the prophet because the prophets were prophet by virtue of the fact of the prophet in them. Right. God's his own prophet. That's why Brother Branham says Elijah for this day is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Not a man, but it'll come by a man. Now listen, then if the prophet, Christ, is revealed in the bride, because that's the Son of Man, see? That makes the bride all eagles, not a chicken amongst them.
That's right.
Listen. If they are all eagles, it makes them all one with the Word.
Amen.
Who is the great eagle?
Amen.
See? Who reveals the Word? God revealing himself. It has to be so. Listen to Acts 3:25. Oh, it's only 10 o'clock. Two more hours and you'll be out. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. That's how they're their children, is by the word of God. How could you be a child of the prophet? You say, I've got to have the seat of the prophet. That's right. The prophet doesn't have his own seat. He's a eunuch. Because the word is altogether in his mouth, not his head. Paul said, this word I received not of myself, nor was I trained by men. But he said, this word came by revelation. See? Now he said, I've begotten to you in Christ by the gospel. So therefore, we are the children of the prophets on the grounds that we are born of the Word. Now listen. Let's go to Peter. If I can find it, I always have such a trouble finding things. Listen, 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, which is the Word of God, which it lives and abides forever, making you eternal. Say, well, Brother Bale, can you be born again any other way? Oh, you bet you can. You can be born again of a creed and a dogma. Certainly. You can be born again through a process of the altar. A lot of ways to get born again. There's only one way to get really born again, and that's by the Word of God. But what is the Word of God? It's the vindicated, revealed Word of God. And you've had seven church age messages, and now at the end time, we've got the great one. Now, if the prophets had that Word, and I'm begotten, now listen, if the prophets had that Word, and I'm begotten by the word of that prophet, then I'm part of that word.
Right.
And if I'm part of that word, I'm part of Christ.
Glory to God.
I ask you a question. Who are you supposed to revere in your home? Your father. He is the preeminent one by virtue of the fact that he is the preeminent one. Now, therefore, he will get the preeminence because we are of the Word as he is of the Word. And since God decreed that light begets light, how can we be unlike him who is the Word? Being part of that Word, the very genes and attributes of God will be in us. I know that certainly sounds awful far away, but brother, sister, either God lied or he didn't lie. Now, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, but he believed what God said. And remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And remember, the eagles hear the scream, and the chickens hear the cluck. And the cluck will take you to the manure pile, and the scream will take you to glory. Now listen, absolutely reborn by the Word will give the Word preeminence, because that's why you're reborn. Now, Brother Branham said, if I was an apple tree and somehow the sap of a peach tree could get into me, I'd bear peaches. You'd give preeminence to the peach sap, the light. Therefore, be absolutely being reborn by the Word will give the Word preeminence, and that means that Christ has gained his right place of glory in the bride. So if I'm going to give God a lot of glory, not unless it's in the Word. Now, as Christ the Word has preeminence, he will express himself through that bride who is Word also. You can't have a chickadee expressing itself through a pussycat. That's not vulgar, it's just the truth. Brother Branham said, if a cell starts with a dog, it's just the truth. Brother Branham said, if a cell starts with a dog, you don't add a cat and a horse or something else. It's got
to
be Word, 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 Word. The bride's Word. Now listen, I think of all the facets or the manifested characteristics of Christ. In him was love. That's right. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. See? God loved that poor widow, raised her son. God loved that man at the water, raised him up. God loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus, raised him up. He certainly did. He loved us, proved it. But in him was also judgment. And the very God that was the God of love went down to the temple one day, and he cast out those money changers and those that sold things. And I'm going to tell you my version of that. I think I'm right. The Bible said if you live too far from the temple and you cannot bring your first fruits, all the offerings, you sell them, turn it to money. Then you go to the temple and you turn it back into whatsoever your soul lusteth after, and there you give it back to God. Now these people did that. And these people in the temple, in the courtyard, they had the money there. They had the animals there. They had everything there, as I understand, according to the Word of God, to help these people obey the Word. But listen to me. Here's what was wrong. They thought that they were going to get to heaven by what they were doing when the way of heaven stood there. And because they couldn't recognize Him, and because He made it so plain in His love and His anxiety to help them, because His heart was poured out, and they turned Him down and said, "You are nothing but a bastard child," He took those wings.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Glory.
That loving God, He took chunks of rope. Have you ever been burned by binder twine? Ooh, that's a good one. Let a hunk of rope come across here and rip you. Oh, that all the little mean bits of jute get in there and the blisters come. It's one of the rottenest type of wounds you can get. He went, slash, whip, slash.
Glory.
A God of judgment. Oh, brother, He's got such a sweet spirit. Hallelujah.
God.
My brother, my sister, this was God in His Word. I hope we have backbone as the squeeze comes down, my brother, my sister. He's also a God of mercy. He said, "I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy." How much mercy was there in that day? He went down to raise the widow's son. Oh, you couldn't estimate it. How much mercy that day He looked upon that fainting crowd and said, "I can't send away, I'll multiply food for him," right? Infinite mercy. How much mercy did He show that day when that poor old governor of the feast was going to lose face, as the Eastern customs have, because he hadn't supplied enough wine? They were just going to murder him socially. Everybody felt sorry. Even Mary felt sorry. She said, "Son, I hate to ask you, but I love dear old John, and he's going to lose face." Now, you wouldn't like to lose face if you just miscalculated. Of course, you don't miscalculate, but could you do something for him? And Jesus said, "Yes, I'll do something for him. I hate to see a guy embarrassed." Look at the infant compassion and mercy and tenderness of that one. Reach down. Listen, I'm going to use vulgar language. Literally make booze for a party so a man wouldn't lose face. You say, "Brother Bale, was grape juice." Don't Brother Bale me. You don't even know Greek or anything. It was wine and could make you drunk. Because the people went to the governor and said, "What are you doing anyway? How come you save the best till the last? Why, what you want to do is give the good stuff, and then when you get them so boozed up they don't know the difference between horse meat and fresh fillet of steak of a good Hereford out there, you just give them the old raw hamburger made out of a dog, so to speak. Give them the rotten booze. They won't know the difference. They can't tell stale hamburger from a good fillet mignon. Make people drunk." That's right. And then one day he went down, and people were dying, cancer, lepers, TB. One fellow there had a little bit of arthritis for 38 years or so. And he said, "You want to get healed?" The fellow said, "Well, I sure liked it, but the trouble is nobody gets me down in this pool while the water's being troubled." He said, "I didn't ask any questions about that. I just said, you want to get healed?" "Well," he said, "I'd sure like them to take up your bed and walk you guys."
Glory.
In him was the giving of law. He was the one who came down on Mount Sinai, who stooped and wrote. He was the same one who came down in human flesh and stooped and wrote in that sand. Where the law once condemned, He came down in mercy and washed it all out. Then He came back here and said, "The law says you shall not commit adultery, but I say unto you, I'm going to magnify it. You look at a woman and lust after her. You want her. So in your mind, you're having an affair." He said, "You've done it. You're condemned." In Him was power and authority. And the bride will have all that too. What was in Christ must be revealed in the bride. Here will be men amongst us, so loving and so sweet. They will lead us right to the Word and keep us right to the Word. But there will also be men amongst us, so loving and so sweet, who will take us right from the Word. And we'll say, "Isn't He sweet?" Listen, ladies, I'm going to hit you again because you type the bride. How many women honestly know in their hearts, "He was a rascal, but oh, how I loved him." You know what I'm talking about. And I'm spelling it out. Because it's in the whole world. I have heard time after time after time in the mouths of both men and women what a wonderful guy he was, but what a louse. Supposing somebody took you off the word which is Christ. Supposing somebody added to that word. I'm not saying people shouldn't be sweet and loving. I'm saying they should. But listen, my brother, my sister, Satan transformed himself to an angel of light. Then is it anything to be wondered about if his servants also transform themselves? What is a wolf in sheep clothing but a fellow that acts like, looks like, and pretends to be perfectly a sheep, but inside he's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil to take you away from God. Remember, Adam and Eve were cut down by a tree. The knowledge of good and evil. It was the same tree they hanged Jesus on. Shun it, my brother, my sister. It may look pleasant to the eye. It may be pleasant to the taste. And you may be happy. But I'm going to tell you something. I've seen those sweet, sweet preachers. And I've seen the people who listen. And I've gone around and said, did you hear him say this? And they said he never said it. Their ear was to the door already. The awl had been punched through. And when the doctrine came that was wrong, they never recognized it. I've got three preachers at least in this audience that can testify to the truth. And I can name them by name. But the people love the sweet, sweet. Let me tell you, brother, sister, flattery will get you somewhere just where it got Eve. His sweetness will not seduce you and lead you astray if he's a man of God. Show me where Jesus' love and sweetness ever made him deny the judging authority of the Word. That's right. I recall Jesus rising in anger and judgment against those who are off the Word and making him a liar. I recall Moses, the same man who said, Lord, blot them me out if you're going to take them. The same man, when he was forbidden to take his place as the rightful leader in the Word where God placed him, he rose up in anger and said, kill them, God. Now, I'm not here to take a club and say, let's go around killing people. I'm here to say, let's get mean with people and use a club and beat them. I'm just showing what the Bible says. People don't understand what Jesus manifests. The same thing's got to be in the bride. Meekness is not milk wash, milk toast. Meekness is standing up to anything and everything for the Word of God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Not being violent with a sword to do something about it, but standing for it. Brother Branham said concerning that first church age, those false apostles came to Ephesus and they tried to get in there and insinuate their way into people's and said, hey, you're false. Then what do you mean we're false? We just gave you the word test and you flunked it.
Glory.
I can see in the bride those who hew us out. The prophet said we're hewed out.
Amen.
Hewing out. Let me see. That means, oh, tweet, tweet. Yes. Ah, little pin, prick, prick, prick. Yes. Deep, 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 deep. Oh, come on. We ever hewed wood? Man, I used to have the best old double swing action you ever saw. Put that old long-handled double-faced axe up there, treat my wrist like this, and get that long, and take my own kind of power drive. I mean, wham! Didn't get very far sometime, but I sure whammed her. I'm going to hew me out some firewood, bless God. That's what Brother Brown said the prophet does. Not pounding at people with blows, that'd make a man a hypocrite. If I get up here to bang you around, I'd be a hypocrite. But if my nature is one and someone's nature is one to stand firm and hard with the Word, don't fuss at that guy's nature, call him a wrong spirit, this and that. He's only got a wrong spirit. He's trying to beat you over the head and make you go his way instead of lining you up with the Word. Because listen, I don't care, brother, sister, when I leave this place, which way you go. Now, I don't mean that hard. I mean it's not my responsibility once I've delivered my soul, which way you go, I have done the best I can. See? Nobody's going to hammer you. Nobody's going to pound you. I see the power and virtue of Christ in the true bride as an adjunct to the Word, not replacing the Word and voiding what God is doing in this hour. How many gifts of the church are being manifest today to void the Word of the hour? How many people do you know are being fooled because someone's got a healing ministry, a discerning ministry? Well, that's God. That's God. Yes, it is God. But everything that is of the devil is also of God. I illustrate many times. I've got a fist here with a bit of strength. Not much. I'm not very strong. But if you were drowning in a river and had a hold of a little branch, this hand of mine can take and grab your hand and pull you to mercy, or it can grab your wrist and pull it off and watch you drown. All power is of God, even that which the devil uses. You can take the very power of God, you can take the very word of God, and pervert them both and use them against God's kingdom. You can take this message too and ride on Brother Branham's coattails to make something of yourself in a strata directing people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Gift without the word is not a sign of the indwelling Christ. It is simply a sign of God amongst us. Brother Branham was challenged by one of the greatest men of the day. So you'll automatically figure out in your mind who it was. He said to Brother Branham, "You're ruining your ministry by preaching the word the way you are." And Brother Branham said, "Any man's ministry that can be ruined by the word had better be ruined."
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Right. People fuss at us because we say put the church in order and the gifts in the building by themselves. Then the gifts get ruined. If the word ruins your gift, it's a good thing for you. A lady stood up in a meeting one day itching to give a second message in tongues when the first one was fat in a fritter and ruined the meeting. And Brother Brown said, "Shut up and sit down." And the preachers took him aside and said, "You grieve the Spirit of God." And he said, "Any time the word grieves any spirit, I'm for it being grieved." I'll tell you something about the little story. I had to set a woman down in the church one night in Ohio. I did it very gently. It wasn't a woman even, it was a man with a high-pitched voice. Brother Branham said, that's cute, but it's true. Brother Branham said, "Lee, I want to thank you," he said, "the way you put that person down." He said, "It was really bothering me." He said, "That woman's out of order." And I laughed and said, "Aha, you got fooled too." He said, "What do you mean?" "It was not a lady," I said. "It was a man with a high-pitched voice." Well, I said, "I'm a little amazed that you agreeing so nicely." I said, we talk about those things. And well, he said, "Baxter," he said, "put some lady down once, and he really was rough." And he said, "I did too." I sorry to say, I laughed in his face. I said, "No, you never sat anybody down in your life." I said, "You couldn't do it." I really meant it. It was so tickled me. He said, "I did too." He said, "You can ask." Well, I said, "What was it like?" And he told me this woman. And I said, "Woman, set up and sit down." See? Well, you'd wonder how a person like that could say such a thing. Somebody else come along, he said, "Well, I couldn't say such a thing." Brother Branham called people in Edmonton, Alberta, a bunch of mossbacks. You know who told him to say that? The Holy Ghost told him to say that. Now, here we are in these gifts, in this ministry here. Somebody said, "Well, I can't put them in that room back there because it kills it." You stand up and you stop a thing, you kill the spirit. What spirit are you talking about? What ministry are you talking about? See? Now listen, I see him today giving his word revealed by a faithful prophet. We saw it. I see him teaching the bride by faithful teachers whose aim is only the word. I see faithful shepherds who are pastors. I see him giving mercy according to his word, as it says in Romans 12, because there is a ministry of showing mercy. People got an idea there's only 9 gifts. There are hundreds of gifts. One is to exhort. I don't know if there's an exhorter here. How do I know? You ought to know it for yourself. I can't tell. There's somebody here, no doubt, who gives in simplicity. You've got a gift. Somebody who shows mercy. Somebody who helps. Somebody who teaches. See? All of these things are here. They are all in there because they were in Christ and now in the bride. I see many members of this one body manifest and manifesting this word, which is Elohim, which is Christ, who is God. For the bride is the body of Christ, and he is living his life through her. Elohim, the word manifesting in her and through her in creature form. And we are those creatures. And God forming himself in human flesh has been doing it for 2,000 years in a bride form. Like he was doing years before in the Old Testament. How dare anyone say he's a Christian and be off that word? Now where's your church that lets women preach? Teach a man. Wear slacks and shorts and cut her hair. It is not in him, because the word is not in them. See? Because listen, if Christ is in you, you're in the bride. And if you're in the bride, Christ is in you.
That's right.
Then if you're in that, you're in the Word, and the Word's in you. Then if that's in you, that's got to come out. At least you've got to be trying to see that it comes out. See? Now, where's the church? We got plenty of them. Whose men won't stand up and be separated unto Jesus Christ, even as He is the glory of God, as it says in 1 Corinthians, for man was created in God's image for His glory. Sure, he lost it. But in Christ it's regained. See? Where are those men who stand up with Christ the Word and not some church? How many of those men stood with Brother Branham on that day? The light that is in the bride is the very life of Christ. There has to be manifestation and fruit, or the life does not come from Him. Yet it must be one with that Word, or every service rendered apart from His will and worship is reduced to idolatry. You say that's a strong statement. Where did Brother Branham get it? I'll tell you where he got it. I got it when he said these Methodists and Presbyterians just like the witch doctor. Not fussing the denominations and the people in there, but showing you what he said. There has to be that. Now listen, every redemptive attribute of God is in the bride through Christ indwelling her, or she is not born again. That's right. She is a prisoner completely to Him. And the test of her subjection is the parallel of the Word for what she believes and how she acts. See? In fact, we can go further and say, the fruit must be born of the vindicated Word, or it is human fruit and not of God. God must produce it, must produce in her by His Word, or her product is a hybrid. Listen to what the prophet said about the bride who gives Christ the preeminence. The person pregnated with the seed of God, the Word in her, so surrendered to the Word of God that the Word and the Word alone manifests itself in this person. A person, a prisoner to an individual. Who's the individual? Jesus Christ the Word. Now, watch her bring forth sons, all by the Word, not creeds and dogmas. Not a lodge member amongst them. How completely her identity is lost in her husband is seen in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let's just see what she is here. Now, thou hast ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes, with one chain of thy neck. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse? How much better is thy love than wine, and the smell of thine ointment than all spices? He's calling her a sister who is a spouse. The sister is the wife, just exactly as Adam and Eve. For Eve came out of Adam, and being co-produced with him, like unto him, was a sister as well as a spouse. Here we find this bride so identified that she is of him, so thoroughly identified, they have a double relationship. To have a double relationship as a husband and sister means that they have the same father. The word father means source. Now then, who are we of? You are of God, little children. Amen. See? A very image of Jesus Christ as His bride. Now, see the preeminence that He has. Who can speak of being a bride and qualify that statement any other way than mentioning His attributes that were displayed and employed to bring us to Him? How could we ever talk of anything about the bride? You couldn't without talking all about Jesus. Christ has so demanded the preeminence that no one can even talk about a bride unless it talks about Him. Now where's your Roman Catholic Church and your Protestant image? Last, God restoring the kingdom to the rightful owners, those that He planned the kingdom for originally. Would you believe it? But restoration goes all the way back to Genesis. It certainly does. Who went looking for those two sheep that were lost in Eden to restore them? God did. Elohim. That word. Who redeemed them from eternal separation lost? Who gave the lamb? Who sacrificed a creature form looking to the form of God in human flesh that would bring them back to the image? God did. What were they clothed with? A creature form. Oh, what are you and I clothed with? If it weren't for the creature form, the blood of God in Jesus Christ our Lord, having been poured out on this earth and poured upon us, we wouldn't make it.
That's right. Glory to God.
The man Christ Jesus receiving preeminence. God did it. Yes, he did. Now, but why did he have to do it? Because Eve fell from the Word and caused Adam to do likewise. She filled her mind and then her womb with hybrid seed. And Adam and Eve embarked on the long, disastrous journey of bringing God's children into the world, not by the Word, but by the flesh. But listen, the antidote was revealed Word, God Himself being the antidote. He hath made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the very righteousness of God by our union with Him. And now 6,000 years of restoration must go by, for it would take that long for all the brides to come into existence. Notice something. Not only were God's own children now lost in that fall under sin, but there was another seed in the land, the seed of Cain, the son of the serpent by Eve. And there was no restoration promised for the serpent's seed, only the seed of Adam. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all come alive. That's bride and resurrection at the white throne judgment. And the seed became mingled, Adamic and serpent. But God redeemed His own by election. See, the purpose of God stands in election. For every predestinated son was to be restored back to God, and He did it by the Word. He revealed Himself in various ways and manners to bring in the elect, until one day He came in flesh, and the Word became flesh. He died on Calvary, and the blood was shed, and the life in the blood came back upon the elect. Now listen, I'm telling something different here, so watch it. The blood was shed, and the life that was in the blood came back upon the elect who were buried in Jerusalem there. And there was a mighty resurrection from the dead. You prove me wrong. How'd they get out of the grave? Same life that took Him out of the grave. The same life that was shed. I lay my life down and I take it again. That same life came back and raised the dead. Now listen. Then the same life that raised the dead came back on a living bride at Pentecost. And here was another perfect Eve for the last Adam. But we know how that she fell too. The fall was so complete, the church died and lay buried in the fourth church age, the Dark Ages, like Christ went to the ground. But now, God promised restoration. And He started a reformation by Luther. Now listen, life, which is the Holy Spirit, was poured out in a measure by the Word, justification. For the preaching of the Word of justification brought life because the Word is life. A further measure, greater, was poured out under Wesley as he preached sanctification. This brought more life to the church. Then under Pentecost, a greater revelation, restoration of gifts, there was more life poured out through the study of the Word. Then came full restoration, which was promised us in Acts 3, 19, 21, so on, down there, where the heavens must receive Him until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all the prophets since the world began. Now, when the world began, who was the first prophet? God was. Who's the last prophet? God's the last prophet. And then what's the word of all the prophets? It's God's word. Then there's going to be a restoration. Then there's more life because the Spirit, the Word is Spirit and life. Now listen. By the vindicated ministry of Elijah, the Word has returned to resurrection power.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Let's find out now. I'm just going to talk. Listen. Behold, I show you mystery. He's been talking about the resurrection. We shall not all sleep, but just the same will all be changed in a resurrection. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. What's the last trump? Tells you what it is. Last trump, voice of the last messenger. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptibility, and this mortal must put on immortality. You see what we're doing? We're coming into a resurrection through the revealed word. You see, how do you know it? Because Brother Branham said, when he was in the mountain, he said, I looked up, something hit my hand. It was a sword. And I said, what is that? And the voice said, it's the sword of the king. Now he said, there's only one the king, and that's God. He said, that's the word of God. And he said, bring on your holy vestures with the word of God standing by. Which is a direct prophecy right here in 1 Corinthians 15 that we must be vestured with the word of the living God, and if we're going to be vestured to give eternal life, then that's the power of the resurrection that has been poured out in the word of Almighty God tonight. See, the vindicated ministry. The Bible distinctly said, if Elijah doesn't come, then I'll come and smite there's the curse. It says nothing about a resurrection. But let Elijah come, there'll be a resurrection and a rapture. Certainly. Now, God has again manifested himself. The headship and the body has become one. Man came from India. We'd had our oats by this time. We were friends for a while. He said, Brother Dale, I could see anger on his face. I said, come on, spill it. I said, you're mad. Get it off your chest. don't fool with me. Hallelujah. So he said, Brother Dale, all right, got it. What's the body made of? I said, many members. No. What's it made of? I said, don't fool with me, brother. The scripture said many members. He hasn't got a head. Where's the Bible say the body's head, trunk, and limbs? There's your theology right there. The ingenuity of man's mind. I knew what he was trying to say. I said, if you're referring to the headship of the word, the body does have a head. Oh, I mean the Holy Spirit. I said, lay off of that. I've been through that arena. I know what you're trying to tell me. You get your own leadings. You get this and that and palm it off on God. Go back to what the prophet said. The headship of the word is come. The body has joined itself to the head when we're speaking concerning the word. Not the physical return of God incarnate in flesh. The headship and the body become one unit. Now listen. Now watch carefully. As the fully revealed. Now please listen to my language. And don't move. As the fully revealed and entirely fulfilled word, which was Christ, brought about a resurrection 2,000 years ago. And so brought back Christ to give life to the dead. So now Christ the Word has been restored to the bride tree to give her resurrection. That was the fully revealed Word is Christ. Fully fulfilled. Not fulfilled until Calvary. Not fulfilled until that word was filled that said, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer my body to see corruption. When that was done, it was fulfilled. And when he came forth, he brought a resurrection. And when Revelation 10 and 7 is fulfilled, it's got to bring a resurrection. You think it won't? Let me tell you this, brother, sister. They crucified that word to themselves a second time, and the life that pours out has got to come back upon. What is that first that they crucify? The former reign. What does it come back as? The latter reign. Now, just getting ahead of myself, perhaps, in the latter reign. Now, notice, those elect in the graves at Jerusalem had to wait for the fullness of God in resurrection power to come so they could be made perfect. You'll find that in Romans where it says the Son of Jesus is the Son of God of power according to the resurrection of the dead. Also, the living elect were waiting for the same resurrection power to make them part, now listen, of the same resurrection. Did you catch it? I said those at Pentecost became part of that same resurrection that the dead when they came out of the ground.
Yes, sir, that's right.
That's right. Because he said he was the resurrection and life. And if he raised them by his spirit of the resurrection, then what did they have but resurrection spirit? What are they but part of that resurrection? Now we've got the proof that he rose and led captivity captive. Then if we're part of him, we're part of the resurrection.
Glory to God.
You talk about restoration, brother, sister. Remember, he, Jesus, is the resurrection. And if a part of the resurrection, see, there they were part of it. And if we're a part of that resurrection, we have to be if we're a part of him. See, it won't be otherwise. And when the first, and when the full power of the resurrection came, Brother Branham said there could have been a rapture. But the bride was still in the forming stage. They'd only taken the first little bit and the rest would be left. Now, the same thing is today after seven church ages. The dead are waiting for the resurrection power to bring them out of the earth and the same power in the bride to take her off of the earth. Right. Now, if you're weary, you can get it on tape. I've got to finish, though. James 5, listen 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, out of the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for the bodies to come out of the ground. Because if they don't come out of the ground, he can't come. See? Just spoil the whole thing. And hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain. All right? Let's go to Joel. That's over here before Amos, I believe. Chapter 2, 21. Be not afraid, beasts of the field, for the pastures of winters do spring, for the tree bear their fruit, the fig tree and vine field yield strength. What's that? That is Romans 8 and 21, where the earth is crying for restoration, which she will get. Now listen to us. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain morning. And who are the children of Zion? Who's Zion? New Jerusalem. Who's New Jerusalem? Bride. Yes, Paul says so in Galatians, right? Now, he's given you the former rain moderately. He has. In other words, there's been a moderation throughout the 2,000 years of God giving his word.
Yes, sir.
But he will cause to come down through the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. The word month doesn't belong here because it's not the first month. He tells you what he's going to do. He's going to give you the word all over again in complete revelation. And this time, you can have a rapture.
Amen.
Which you couldn't have before. Because the bride's completed. And now listen. And the floor should be full of wheat. When is that? That's harvest time. Judgment time. The fat overflows wine and oil. And I'll restore to you the word years. The locusts and so on ate up. In other words, God bringing restoration. He tells you how he's going to do it. And this is going to bring about the resurrection. Okay? Let's go to Hosea. A little further back. Sixth chapter. 1-3. Now watch. Come and let us return to the Lord our God. I'll send Elijah so you can return. For he hath torn, and he'll heal us. He hath smitten, he'll bind us. He sure did. He just words your scriptures right down. After 2 days, he'll revive us. 2,000 years are up. In the third day, raise us up. Resurrection time. And we shall live in his sight. He won't die. He's going to live. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared to the morning, his coming, you see, the first part, he's coming down as the latter, as the rain upon the earth, the latter and the former rain on the earth. Now God, Brother Branham says, started the latter rain back in 1906, then brought in the former rain in order that the latter rain could be completed, and now the Spirit of God falling upon it is going to bring forth a bride for a resurrection. And it's going to bring the dead out of the ground. Because unless this power returns to her, Brother Branham said, the dead can't come out. Now, then, if the former and latter rain has come, then God brings forth in a resurrection. It has to be.
Amen.
We're not guessing anymore, Brother Sister. We're not guessing anymore. We've arrived. That's right. It is the fullness of God, the fully revealed and anointed word that has come forth. Certainly. Either the word of God lied or didn't lie. For God poured out a measure of His Spirit upon the church dead in creeds and dogmas, and He did it under Luther, justification, under Wesley, sanctification, starting in the seed form, starting in a seed form, a resurrection. See? A fourth measure under the end time measure, the end time ministry, and that's the last measure. See? And now the full mystery of God is revealed. Once the revelation is in the bride. See? And remember, only the seventh church age bride is living. All the rest are dead. Now once this revelation, this word, is in the living bride, that's our day, see, she becomes so one with the word that she is the word. Now you're back to restoration. Then the resurrection power is completely manifested and the dead come forth, the bride is changed and taken up into a rapture. And so, brother, sister, we stand today with full assurance of redemption by a vindicated and proven word. The spirit of the resurrection is growing. That's right. Yes. Certainly is. The river, now listen, the river pouring from Ezekiel's vision of the sanctuary, there was water to the ankles, justification. Water up to the knees, sanctification. Water to the loins, restored gifts. Water to swim in. Now listen, the water from the temple becomes Jordan. I don't have to cross Jordan alone. No, sir. Jesus died on my sins to atone. I want to tell you, brother, sister, in the darkness there shall be light. And a river of Spirit of God of the Word revealed shall flow from the sanctuary. And will cross over Jordan as the water scatters by Elijah's mantle. It shall be light about the evening time.
Glory to God.
Right. That's where we are. This is not some idle tale I'm telling. This is what the prophet taught us. See? The Holy Spirit pouring forth in fullness by the Word. And then somebody says, well, it doesn't much matter about the Word. We're all just good friends. Yes, we're all good friends. But it doesn't matter about the Word. Oh, it doesn't matter about the Word. Just love each other. We'll love each other. But it does matter about the Word. Oh, brother, sister, listen to me. Let's understand this. When we became united to Him by His Spirit, did He make His dirty, or did He make us, our spirit, His spirit? Then listen, if He's the Word, then He made His Word. There's no room for error. There's no room now to go around saying, well, this is sweet and that's sweet, hallelujah. If you've got a creed and a dogma, there's a wrong spirit on you.
That's right.
Something wrong somewhere. Now, I can't stand for all this word because I don't understand it all. I stand for all of it, even though I don't understand it. But, I mean, I can't defend and preach what I don't understand. I'm not responsible for that. If God don't tell me, show me certain things, I'll never preach it. But I know what He taught me here. Because this is taken from the mystery of God revealed as preached in 1963. I got to put in my own words because I couldn't use His. Now, listen. All those that were in Him before the foundation of the world are about all in. Almost all the bride is here, and Brother Brand said, could they all be in? Could be. See, they're coming in, thank God. Soon He'll come bodily. Godhead in human flesh. I believe the supper is ready. Already we're feasting as eagles at the fresh killed carcass. I believe only the bride will be there in the resurrection, for the prophet said nothing outside of this message will come to life. Then nothing outside of this message does have any life. And if you're still looking for these sweet little things, you're like the Nazarene church that Brother Branham saw the pastor kissing a dead corpse. Are we with Pentecost today? Sweet little pussycat, as Brother Branham saw Pentecost, you pat her on the back and she purrs. You rub the fur this way, she spits at you and claws you. Come on, let's get down to business. We are eagerly awaiting for the full manifestation of the redemption and full restoration because the book of redemption has come down to us. The pages have been opened, and there in the Word of Life we saw our names revealed. Nothing can stop the resurrection and the rapture now, my brother, my sister. The die has been cast. And you'll no more stop this resurrection and the bride going than anything. They'll never stop her. The Bible said in the days of this great king, of whose kingdom there is no end, and his government and peace shall increase. It says on earth here in the days of the fourth kingdom, we're going to stand here and we're going to own it all and be caught away so because we don't even want it. We're going to come back to renewed and renovated earth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is impossible to do so, to stop this rapture. It's impossible to do so, for God is faithful who has promised. And Brother Brand said, thus is spoken, thus it be three times. He is the Word, and He is coming into greater preeminence than ever as the bride believes that Word, and she is restored through that same Word. He faithfully witnessed by His Word and manifested to be so. See, right in the resurrection. Because some people came to Brother Branham before he died and said, Brother Branham, should we sell all we get and get trucks and follow the tent? He said, see that you're in the resurrection. The earth shall soon be cleansed, and the bride come back for a glorious honeymoon with the preeminent groom. Oh, the purposes of God, threefold, and all of them being fulfilled. One having been absolutely, truly fulfilled, as I understand the word. Because the prophet said he wouldn't be gone till his ministry's finished. And he said he wouldn't be back. You may do what you want with him. I just quote, you could quote something else. But this little thing I think here, see. How great is Jehovah, who has revealed himself to us and made himself known in order to gain the loving preeminence of God. Now listen, brother, sister. If I know the heart of anybody that even thinks he's born again, there's one thing he wants to do, and that's to make God everything. See? I've often said, and I could say it without fear or shame, that if I really felt that I had given God real glory, if I really could feel that I gave him preeminence, I would gladly go to the lake of fire having known that I did that much. Preeminence. How could we have the Spirit of Christ and not what would He want? How could we have Him, the Word, and not be one with that Word? How could we not be faithfully judged? Because judgment has begun at the house of God and many people turn it down. Brother, sister, the Word's amongst us. With judgment and mercy and grace and power and all that God poured into Christ has been poured and is being poured into the church until finally the resurrection's upon us. And we're changed and caught away, traveling like a thought as we go down the road to glory. How great is Jehovah, who has revealed himself to us, made himself known to gain his loving preeminence. And now we are in the last stage of restoration. What a grand homecoming that will be for the next. Oh, they come from the east and west. Sing it. They come from the land afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are. Are you beholding his face? Beholding his hallowed face. How? What makes it shine? It's that word. Blessed partakers of his grace, as gems in his crown to shine. Oh, Jesus is coming soon. It will soon be yours. Oh, what if, my Lord, this moment should come for those who are free from sin? Oh, then would it bring you joy? Great is there when the Lord in glory will meet him up in the air. Let's ride. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, I'll ever adore him. Songwriter said, how can I help but love him so? You know, that's the truth. When you saw Brother Branham, and you know how he loved Jesus and how the Lord was so real to him, I believe that's a picture of what we're going to have in this life before we depart this earth, the complete reality of Jesus Christ, where we know nothing but him. We have his mind, we understand him, and we are known in a sense as we are known. We know him in the sense that he knows us. I know it's not complete because there's no full manifestation until we're in the resurrection, because we can only take so much. We can only understand God in this creature form as he revealed himself. But brother, sister, just to think, if we'll only let our minds go away from our normal ways and get rid of the Laodicean spirit of being encumbered with so many things that detract us, and get right to the pure gold of God's word and realize that what the prophet said was true. What a tremendous thing that God should reveal himself the way he did it. How condescending. What time he took. How he sacrificed. What he did for us to come down to our level, that he became us that we might become him. Now if this is true, surely he should have the preeminence. We should be a slave and a prisoner to Jesus Christ. Not concerning our own ideas, but what the prophet taught. Not drawing our own conclusions, but what he said. Because he was vindicated. Surely God revealed him as what you might call a first fruit. A demonstration, you see, of what was in this life. Now, I don't say we're going to be prophets going around doing it. Brother Branham said, I'm talking about a life.
Yes. Amen.
What he had was to convince us. Was God revealing himself. Was making us to know. Until today, we're at the full assurance of faith, brother,
amen,
sister.
Amen.
We are ready. According to what the prophet said, open those seven seals, brought rapturing faith.
Amen.
We've got enough to the going away and the catching away.
Amen.
These things are our joy, not some sensation, not some demonstration. This is our life, because it's reality. Why? Because it's vindicated by God, where nothing else is. Now we love him. How can we not love him? How can we not praise him? Let's, as we go, before we go home, let's sing once again, oh, how I love Jesus.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because
let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, we don't know what else we could do except to hide this word in our heart, to water it daily by our thoughts, Lord, until our thoughts become fully revealed thoughts of thine. I know nothing else we can do. I don't know, Lord, that an altar call would do anything other than just further demonstrate we have a desire to have this for which we pray. But Lord, you've given us something richer and deeper for this. And that is, you not only gave us the Spirit of God to reveal the things of God to us, but you gave that same Spirit that he might ever bring to our remembrance all those wonderful things that he has revealed. Oh, blessed Spirit, hide us away in the cleft of the rock tonight. Help us to close out our minds entirely in our very lives to everything like the prophet did, until we stand one with the Word of God. That's all we want. Unbroken thought, unbroken communion, unbroken desire. Oh, let the meditation of our heart, the words of our lips be thy meditation and thy word, O God. Our heart pants after thee, Lord, as the heart pants after the water brook. We would be like thee, O Lord, completely swaying to and joined to thine image, O God. And we would be one with thee, not, Lord, presumptuously, but because we desire, because thy word said come. Oh, God, tonight, were my power, Lord, if it were my power. But it's a good thing it's not my power, because it could fail and I could be wrong. But looking to your power, Lord, consecrate everyone tonight that's in this room as a bride to the holy groom. Consecrate each one as a virgin spouse, sister, to him who would have the preeminence. Oh, God, I pray, take away all unbelief and everything, Lord, which smacks of indifference or the filth of the world, Lord. Oh, God, any evil spirit upon us, any iniquity, Lord, I pray, God, cleanse us tonight in the face of what you've done. How can we be anything, Lord, but a holy vessel to you? Lord, tonight we look at ourselves, we're disgusted. Lord, we don't want a thing of ourselves. God, if you can hew us out, Lord, as cisterns, unbroken cisterns, that hold the word of life and manifest that God has not in vain come down in creature form to lift us to the very glory of Almighty God. Oh, tremendous, tremendous, that God should take a creature and lift him up and become one with him. Oh, God, may we respect it tonight. Lord God, have pity and quicken us, Lord. Take the sword of your word tonight, Lord. Divide asunder joint and marrow, soul and spirit, oh God. Every carnal thing from spiritual until we're spiritual indeed.
Yes.
Let the flesh become word, O God, and the word become flesh, until the former living word goes back to where it was, O God, progressing into the complete revelation till Christ illumined in the bride. Lord God, tonight I don't believe I prayed in vain. To the best of my knowledge, Lord, I've prayed according to what the prophet said. So, Lord, will you do it tonight? Will you give us grace to believe it and to accept it and to wait in faith and courage and comfort and consolation which has already come, that according to the word of God which has been spoken, it will be done unto us. As the prophet said, I don't call you church or saints anymore. I call you bride. Oh, hallelujah. God grant tonight that the revelation be sealed to each one of us. God who revealed himself. God who gains preeminence. God who restores. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Do you have an announcement?
We want to ask you to bow your heads again. With us, Brother Sweeting is the enemy just struck him. He couldn't get his breath just a minute ago. And he's requested prayer of this congregation. While Brother Willie and Brother Lee, myself, lay hands on him, will you pray with us out there that the Lord will deliver our brother? Come up here.